Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, and welcome to What is a Flock? I am your hostess, Ashley Bird, and I'm hoping y'all can hear me. I've been having some technical difficulties, so y'all need to shout out and let me know if there's silence, because I cannot hear myself. So welcome to Team of Voices Radio, and the Team of Voices is a poetry group full of fabulous people with fabulous words, and you can find us on upoetry.com, the world's largest online poetry site. Feel free to check us out. It is free to join, and come find us, and you too could be read or heard on the radio. And tonight, it is all about how love changes everything, and this song was by, I would call him a one-hit wonder, but that's here. I mean, they had hits elsewhere. This song came out in 1987, and to this day, until I had to look it up for this, I thought it was Rod Stewart. My bad. And they wrote it hoping that he would sing it, but he declined. But in my head, I see Rod Stewart. And so this is a duo made up of Simon Climey. I have no clue what he was in before. I didn't say anything about it. But Rob Fisher was part of Naked Eyes, and I used to love them when I was a kid. They're the ones who sang what is it that they sang? That's going to drive me nuts because it was here in my head, and I was singing the song before the show, and then I got all discombobulated. And but Naked Eyes sings, oh, always something there to remind me. And that squeaking in the background, if you can hear it, it's my dog, and she's being good, so we're going to have to suffer through some squeaking way up. So let's say hello to Rocky Shore. Hello, hello.
Hey.
And,
you think she's a bird now, huh?
There are something. And let's say hello to Sky, Sky, Sky. Hello. Hello. So what are your thoughts on how love changes everything? Because here's the thing for me. Oh, no, that's not obnoxious at all. I'm going to have to take that whale away from her. That is not okay. Can you hear that? It's so embarrassing. So that's my least favorite dog for, by the way, because it's loud. Love is wonderfully euphoric, and because of that, it's very, very kind of an addictive emotion. I mean, it's got lows, but they are very well counterbalanced by those highs. The problem that I have personally with, you know, with love, whether it is mother-child, whether it is, you know, friends that are family, whether it is romantic love, is it will pull you out of who you think you are. She's a super crap. And that is just not okay. I mean, you will find yourself, at least me, and, you know, I'm not the most easily swayed person, but I put the people I love before myself. And so when it comes to those closest to me, I will bend over backwards, you know, within reason, of course, because I'm not fully crazy. But I will find myself doing some stupid crap that I never had any intention of doing, never wanted to do. But, you know, if they need this or they want that or if it would make things easy for them, I do some stupid crap. And conversely, I also tend to forgive things that I don't forgive in myself. Or I'm very black and white, very this is right, this is wrong, yada, yada, blah, 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 blah. Gray is the bane of my existence. Unfortunately, the entire universe is gray, so it's not going to be me. But having said that, there are a few things that I find very hard to forgive. Me and broken trust, if I have to deal with you after that, then I'm suffering. I'm suffering every minute until I get over it, but I don't get over things, so I just suffer. But I find myself in these positions where I just like, oh, well, they must have had a bad day. Oh, well, I wish it was like before. And then time passes and I talk myself into, you know, being okay with trying to trust again, you know, tentatively little things. But the truth is, on paper, in my head, for everybody else, I'm like, no, you know, bite me. You blew it. You know how I am. You can just be gone. And so it takes me outside of myself into a very uncomfortable position or situation. So, you know, love is one of those things. I'm going to talk for like 16 hours, apparently. Love is one of those things. It kind of reminds me of like a gambling addiction because it's all about Pavlov's dog. It's Oh my gosh, my brain is not working with that squeaking. Okay, so you have, you know, you can condition people to do something or to stop doing something, but intermittent conditioning only teaches them that maybe the next time it'll work, 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 and it doesn't. So love does that because, you know, the highs are so high that you put up with a lot of the lows to get to the next high point. And, you know, and that rolls over into a lot of, you know, psychological trauma and codependency and all the crap that comes with the what ends up not being what love, you know, really is. You know, that's all the nonsense that we put up with to get to the good stuff. And we all do it, you know, at least once in our life to a certain degree. We're all that person until, you know, the pain gets to us and we're like, you know what, you know, screw this. But it's, you know, it's always waiting for the next high. And so love kind of flips you inside out, upside down, and sideways. And, you know, as poets, we want to romanticize everything. I mean, I can write the crap out of some pain, and pain is not fun, but I can make it beautiful, you know, ish. And so we kind of romanticize everything. And the love is the grandest of all things. There's so many love poems, and I keep I'm not good with happy love poems because love is a jagged beast. Love scrapes the crap out of your skin, laughs at you while you're bleeding, and then kisses your boo-boos better. It's a beast is what love is. So happy, beautiful, wonderful love poems, while they're beautiful, I don't know how to write them because love drives me crazy. And it's not that I don't love. I mean, I know how to love people. But it really drives me nuts because there's no semblance of control. You are fully open, fully vulnerable, at the mercy of somebody that you hope is as kind as you are, or kinder than you are in my case, because sometimes I'm a bitch, no lie. But so what, and either one of you jump in, what are your thoughts on how love changes everything? I mean, do you find it as infuriating as I do?
Absolutely. I mean, the first thing that comes to mind is something that you touched on, is the fact that, you know, love has its own set of rules. You've got, you know, your rules for life and your deal breakers, and then when you love someone, it's like, well, those rules go out the window because there's, not, I won't say exceptions, but they're applied differently, you know. Whether it's something as simple as like stealing the last French fry or something like that to, you know, only the person that you love can get away with that. Otherwise, you're looking to stab someone in the finger, you know, to something, you know, more extreme. I was very much thinking about you today, Pretty Bird. There was this movie I saw, and again, bits and pieces and not the whole thing, but this guy is in a relationship with this woman for like 6 years or whatever, and it turns out that she's sick, and they're trying to figure out what she has. And at first they thought it was Hodgkin's disease, and they couldn't figure out what it was. And then it turns out it was typhoid, and this took place back when that was a thing. The doctor pulled he was her fiance at the time. He pulls him aside before even telling the parents and tells him that she has this. And he's like, well, I'm going to tell her because, you know, I tell her everything. We're honest with each other. And they're like, no, we're going to tell her it's some kind of fever. He's like, well, I'm not good with that. I'm not going to lie to her. And they're like, we didn't even tell the parents. You can't tell her. You can't tell her. So he ends up lying to her, and her, you know, her confusion, she said it straight up. She's like, but he wouldn't lie to me. And I'm like, oh, my God. You know, when she was trying to figure out if she really had, you know, Hodgkin's or not, and it was like, you know, whatever. But it just, you know, it very much made me think of, you know, how, like you said, you're black and white. And so, you know, you know, that didn't, you know, I mean, there was kind of a ruffle in the relationship in the sense that she said, well, let's not do that again. You know, I mean, they both acknowledged it was a bad thing. And he's like, you know, I wanted to tell you, you know, and she really wasn't very mad at him over it. And I know you would have been madder, but, you know, it just made me think of, you know, the whole situation where, You know, when you're in love with someone, they don't the rules don't apply the same way. It's like you soften a lot. It's not as rigid to me. It's like, you know, you're the only one that can play with that, right? You know.
I do. I completely understand that. I mean, that is, and you're right. I would have been livid, and that would have changed a lot for me. Because I'm a girl that doesn't even like surprise parties, you know? Like,
yeah.
Impromptu things is one thing. But if it's a big gathering that people have to lie to me and tell me they were somewhere else, now I can't trust any of them because they're just a bunch of liars and they can kiss my ass. So there is – oh, this is a PG-13 show, I can say ass, right? And I'm very ridiculous about my black and white. So lies. If you lie to me about me dying and then I live, then I get to live with the fact that you lied to me when I needed you to be honest the most, you know? And I'm very, very anal about things. Does that slide? Yes, yes it does.
That was the plot point he made to the doctor about, you know, living. It's like, you know, deny her, you know, living the 2 years as opposed to living the lie, because Hodgkin's, you know, the life expectancy was only 2 years. And, you know, when it turned out it's typhoid, it's like, oh, so now it's only 7 years. But, you know, it changed the way the decision-making process was for the two of them. It was really interesting. But, yeah, the crux of was exactly the ramifications of the lie. He was like, you know, she can't live like that. You know, you can't tell her it's something that it's not, and then she's going to turn around and die and not live her life, you know.
Well, how is anybody – well, but before I go into that little thing, let's say hello to AP Taylor. Hello, hello.
Hello, pretty bird.
Hello. So we were talking about love and the crazy things to do for love, and Rack brought up something that he was watching about, I don't know if you heard or not, about how doctors, you know, asked this guy to lie to his wife, or was it his wife or his girlfriend, his wife, about how she was dying. You know, she was like, that is not okay to me. And you know, there's just certain things you can't do. I mean, how do you get through that? When that's all well, but when that's all over with,
no.
You know, like it's not okay. It's just not okay.
No,
and,
you can't do it.
See, thank you.
No. Lemmings, pretty bird. Lemmings.
Yeah. So the lie that ruled the world. So what are your thoughts? Well, first let me get Sky, because you didn't answer yet, Sky, about how infuriating or crazy or not you find love.
Depends on what stage, but go for it, pretty bird.
But that was Sky.
AP can answer first. I'll wait. That's okay. AP can go first. I'll wait.
No, I got it.
Y'all are so nice.
Well, from my perspective, of course, and we're speaking on different terms of different ways to feel love. And I think that, speaking about what you were kind of talking about and forgiveness and things like that, I think my fault would lie in, my best friend of 23 years, she was talking to her husband and I want to say Sky, not my real name, but she used my real name. But, you know, she was like, you know, Sky is the kind of person that if someone sits in her face, she'll say all the reasons why they might have gotten to that point and try to understand their perspective. And I think that often trickles over into relationships, because I want to, you know, if I love someone, I'm looking at things from their angles, from their trauma, from their things, and then what ends up happening is, I guess the bottom line is you're making excuses for people rather than holding them accountable. So I think it's a matter of balancing that and a matter of saying, well, no, I'm worth something too, and you can't do that, and this is not okay. And I think it took me a long time to try to, and I think I'm still working on that, honestly. But I think that people, in that way that you guys were talking about, there are allowances made that really sometimes shouldn't be. And, And, you know, my friend, she said something really interesting. She said, you know, you, in a way, you yourself, too, should be held accountable for how people treat you, because you train people how you want them to treat you. If you allow them to do certain things, you're training them, and that's okay. If you say no, you're training them, no, I'm not. So it's an interesting thing, and I love that, because it's kind of like, yeah, you know, we do train people how to treat us and things like that. And so I think that in any kind of love, I think balance and healthiness is the most important, the hardest to obtain, but as long as you're working towards it, I think you're doing good.
I would absolutely get along with your best friend, because that's exactly the thing. The problem is with that is that when we first meet somebody that we like, that we're attracted to, especially in any kind of way, not just physically, you want to be the nice person. You want to be polite. You want to be all of these things where when they get to know you, at least me, because I'm kind of that way, I'm a little bit more I'm a lot more polite to people that I don't know well, which I guess is kind of ass backwards, but it's true. You know, they get my distance of politeness. And then the people that know me get all the info, but you know, in a loving way. But when you are forging a friendship or relationship that is based on, no, I got it, it's okay. Or, of course, I'll help you move. Even when you don't want to or you're not feeling well, all of that stuff does train them that way. And then when you're like, you know what, you're taking advantage, they get all butthurt over it. So that is not okay. So, yeah, and it's a hard lesson to learn, because nobody wants to not be nice, you know? And so AP, your thoughts on the craziness of love.
I think craziness goes through different stages, as you said, pretty good. I think there's this sort of infatuation stage where you do everything you possibly can to engage somebody, and I've been right through to the period where, you know, I've disengaged with somebody, And so love goes through different phases, and I think you interact with love in a different way depending on where you are and your own headset and what sort of, you know, where you find what to interact with.
Yeah, and it doesn't help that, you know, it doesn't matter how good things are, people just kind of suck sometimes. So you can gauge your responses to things, but you can't ever gauge anybody else. It doesn't matter how well you think you know somebody. So there's a lot of ebb and flow there, which, you know, can be difficult terrain if both are moody at the same time, you know? I mean, if the world was a fair and even place, then when one is moody, one would be calm, and when the other is moody, the other one would be calm. But no, these things overlap in unpleasant ways. You know, human nature, you know, these things happen. We are imperfect beings. But it can be just so infuriating and so crazy, and so I don't think that anything has made me hate myself more than loving people. And I know that sounds kind of weird, but it's true, because you end up doing so many things that you never thought you'd do, you know, and you forgive this, or you go out of your way for that, or, you know, all of these little things that are nothing when they're just that one little thing. But if you've got a lifetime of these little things, it's a lot, you know? So
myself for loving you.
So I'm AP. Are you gonna be hanging out for a little bit?
I guess.
You were breaking up. I didn't catch that. Yeah. Could you repeat that for me?
I'm just gonna. I'm going out to lunch with my brother today, which is unusual for me. We don't usually catch up that often. But actually going to get you to, you've got your poem up on the board, because I started from your poem.
Oh, really? Oh, so I read mine and you read yours.
I'd like you to do yours first. Yes.
That is awesome. Okay, I will absolutely do that. So it is on the board, and this is Traces of You. I actually wrote this poem, not the words, but the cadence on it there, because my mother was also a poet in her day. She wrote in Spanish mostly, but she had a very distinct way of writing, a very distinct cadence. And she was all, I bet you can't do what I went with. You can't do what I do. And I was like, yeah, watch me. And so I wrote this. Not, I mean, the words are what it was, but it's very much in the cadence that she used to write it on. And this is Traces of You. Traces of you find every moment closer, even in my darkest day. Traces of you can make the empty linger the second you walk away. Traces of you are my hidden treasure, a joy that is all my own. Traces of you are too fine to measure, yet brighten my darkness alone. Traces of you make life worth living, the birth of my very smile. Traces of you make ease of forgiving, so memories tend to beguile. Traces of you turn hell into glory, then turn back the other way. Traces of you rewrite the story every second, every day. End quote. So, anyone want to run my comments for me?
I'm going to go.
Usually Rack does, so I wasn't going to step in there.
I really liked the traces of you and the lines and the fact that there was that tangible piece of you that you're carrying around. And so I really liked the rhyming, but I loved that sense of the traces of you. That was what I took from that poem.
Thank you.
You know, the thing I love about this Pretty Bird, it reminds me a little of what I was kind of mentioning about herself and, you know, understanding somebody. You kind of give the traits of them, the pieces of them, their own, attaching it to their personality. So when you do that, you think of them, you know, connecting. And that's, you know, almost an indelible thing, you know. It's like every time that I think of you, you know, the pieces of you I recognize evoke those memories. And you know, that you know, also to the fact that when you love someone like that, part of the reason I think you recognize things like that is because you're trying to understand them, and it's also part of the reason why I think things like that will, you know, remind you of them, you know, the notes and whatnot, just resonate. You know, it's like it's not, you know, an independent action almost, it's tied together. There's a beauty in that connection that we talk about. It's just lovely.
Thank you.
And Sky, what did you think?
I thought it was beautiful. I loved the every moment silver and bringing in how, I mean, I think when we're in that, even when we're past the euphoria, even when we're in that settled in long term, there still is a euphoria in that as well. It's a different kind. It's more stabilizing. But even when we're in those moments and we're in those types of relationships, it almost feels like we're not bearing the world alone. So there's darkest moments. There are those lines of silver, because you kind of know that someone has your back. You have that kind of giddiness. And, you know, many people say, oh, well, love is a drug. And that's what I think about, you know, like that little bit of smile, that little bit of happiness, that kind of makes everything a little bit more tolerable. And then when you speak of my hidden treasure, it reminds me of how there are secrets and things about yourself that a lot of, you know, when you're in a relationship, there are things most people don't give over, but to those special individuals and their partners. and ways there are like those little hidden treasures that they share, those intimate moments and things in the past that maybe they don't share with other people. And then so every line, every stanza holds a little bit of kind of what makes the relationship and makes love special. And, you know, when you speak of ease and forgiving, you know, when you truly love someone, it is, I mean, some probably could hold a grudge, but it's probably much easier to forgive. There's a lot of background noise, just so you know. But I thought this was absolutely brilliant. And traces of you rewrite the story every second of every day. And, you know, I think that people write stories together, and real true love can rewrite a story of the past that might have not been so well. Those scars in our hearts kind of settled over and you know, meant better healed. So really well done.
Thank you so much. And AP, you are on the board, so whenever you're ready.
Okie doke. So see if you can see a little bit of yours in this pretty bird. This is Within Ink. And it goes a little bit like this. Things happen to you, face on me, drawn while dancing into pose. By green lace unlocked to see, from hair tresses to dainty toes. Of waves and curls by ocean here, memories of currents past. Printed on the skin in motion, so recall, Adam's heritage past. The assured movement seeks for haste as winter's towers. Mind while her balance tweaks in the ascent of tropical clouds, and in the fulcrum of weight climb, an accommodation of years to fall. Minds melded once troubles lined, created this harbour for the storm. For one, their own sands will weigh, yet if two find that balance share, and blooms in a beauty every day, in the simpler complex.
Oh, I do so love this. So do you know this tattoo, or were you just inspired by a picture of one?
It's a very similar tattoo to one that I know very well, but it's not one in particular.
It's beautiful. You know, I absolutely love this. I love the cadence of it, does sound vaguely familiar. But I do, I love this. You know, I'm sorry, but if this was inspired by mine, then you kind of make me look inept. I'm just saying, you know, this is just beautiful.
No, you can see it in the first sentence, the first line,
yes.
Pretty good. Ink patterns of you trace on me. It comes
yes.
straight off what you were saying.
It did, but it's just so beautiful. And where is the one that it just stopped me? The next to last verse, you know, and the fulcrum of weight find an accommodation of news to form. It might smell the bunch of troubles lying created in this harbor from the storm. And, oh crap, my dog got into something and she's eaten. Oh, she's going to die tonight. Apparently it's fine. And so this is just beautiful. There's that kind of safety there. There is this, it's like liquid, you know, and I love the waves and curls and the ocean, you know, and the tattoo has that wave to it, but I've got that kind of long curly hair. It's so many levels of beauty. I absolutely love this, and it's wonderfully affectionate. You know, you have this way of, it's very endearing. It's very warm and cozy, kind of like your favorite blanket that you just want to fall into the way you write. And it's not this like violent kind of love. That's the way I write love, eviscerates people, you know. And this is like the exact opposite of that. And it's just so lovely. So, Sky, what are your thoughts?
I thought it was beautiful. I loved. First of all, the ink patterns, I loved that, the drawing themes and the ocean themes, and building it into nature, you know, wrapped into memory with currents, like the tide coming back. I really enjoyed those metaphors. And I really love that you bring in balance towards the end. And because I think sometimes, you know, when we're, at least for me, I think the thing I struggle with most in life with anything is balance. That is the most number one thing I do struggle with. And I know that a lot of people feel that way in relationships, especially in new relationships, where, you know, they want to spend every second and every moment together. And sometimes that's not good. And by sometimes, I mean all the time. People need breaks from each other. They need to balance. They need to balance self-time. So they need to balance. And I think, and so I love that yet to find that balance, because I think there's a balance with each other. So when two people are coming together, they're, I mean, no matter how much you have in common, you're very different. So it's balancing together and balancing your life together, but it's also balancing yourself in staying separate as well. So you're still your own person, but are still able to balance with each other. And I kind of like that. It made me think of that concept there, because I think there's two sides of that balance. Really well done.
Thank you.
I fully concur, and Rack, enjoy your thoughts.
Yeah, as to a little bit on what Sky was talking about, you know, I want to swallow the other person whole. You know, that sometimes that expression bothers me when someone says completely, because it almost makes it like they're an extension of you, and you lose your own identity. And you know, we're talking about the balance of the stuff that's part of the beauty, I think. That's lost sometimes in relationships. One person was, the quote that I remember was, if two people are exactly alike, one of them is not necessary. So it's really kind of mind-boggling. But as to AP's words in his poem, I love what you did with this, because it touches on emotions. Sorry, I can't do the tattoo itself, because it sounds like, you know, you touched on some really wonderful aspects of it and how you were describing it, but the emotion that came through was you know, very moving. First, you mentioned the memories, and you tie that into the ocean, and then the best part for me was in how you closed it when you started mentioning the couplets, sharing the couplets together. That was, you know, the beauty to me of you know, the melding of the two. It really was beautiful.
Thank you, Rick. Thank you.
So are you going to be off and have a fabulous lunch, or do you have a few more
minutes? Thank you. And thank you for the topic too, Pretty Bird. It was good fun. I actually shared this one this morning, and she did like a lot.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I got a very nice message back. So there you go.
Oh, nice. You know. I'm glad that I could inspire you. Thank you so much. I loved it, and you have a fabulous day.
Thank you. Okay, thanks, guys. Talk soon.
Bye.
Okay, bye.
And Sky, how long do we have you for?
Until I pass out, but it's probably till 11. I
okay.
know that I don't know. I always lie. I really, I'm thinking 11.
The goal is
I'm
11,
thinking
but you know I'm not going to warn you.
Yeah.
This one goes to 11.
So I am, so while the poems were being read, my dog got into my little industrial motorized nail file and was eating pieces, so it's going to be a fun night after this show. And, I got my son, one of my sons to come across the house and pick things out of her teeth. Fun stuff. So always interesting in my house. So I put Titus up on the board, and he has a sound cloud. So I am going to go ahead and play that. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Here we go. Well, if I can find where the heck I put it.
Yeah, his SoundClouds are notoriously hard to get into the studio.
Oh no, I got it in easy. Actually, his was the easiest one to get in.
Hard. I'm kidding. Sarcasm.
What's
not been said. This is probably the end of the love letters. to account the days, the months, the years. You'll appear all of a sudden without tears, that our time apart be death, as we debtors are to pay the fee, that mine become fierce. Of the love letters, this is probably the end. The amount of times I've written, as yours depends on days that the months pretend, the years are all too long, apart like wars that happened, soul destroying to extend. The end of love letters, as this is probably which I've read. I thought you were dead, I'm given these doubts, as I would instead be grief from this to worry. I'm nobly waiting the threat of what's not been said.
Okay, so this is the first Titus piece that I have heard in a very long time that has no music. And I think that that in and of itself made this even more poignant than the words alone, just because everything is always beautifully choreographed with the background music and the way he reads, and this was just heart-wrenching, you know? Where is it? Well, all of it, just all of it. First, the idea of it being the end of love letters is just the end of love, but as he goes through that this whole idea that it's been so long that, you know, she must be dead, because that is the conclusion why it's been so long. But it's not even a, that sounds flip, you know, and, you know, oh, well, that's the only good reason why she hasn't written me. But it's not flip. It's very painful and very, the years were all too long apart, like wars that happened, soul destroying to extend. I mean, so destroying, just the idea of it, where the possibility is gone, where there is no longer hope, where you're just waiting for those words, you know? And so do you want to know? Do you not want to know? You know what I mean? Because so long as you don't see it in writing, you know, there's always that tiny possibility. But then the not knowing really makes you crazy, because it's worst case scenario all the gosh darn time. And even when you twist that into reasons they could still be alive, and then it just kind of makes you hit yourself and get all pissy, because love twists you up that way. But that soul destroy, this is just heartbreaking. Oh, this man, the way he writes, I can't even. So Rack, what are your thoughts on Titus's piece?
Yeah, I love this. In a way, it reminds me of, you know, the idea of the words you cannot say, you know, the things that you haven't, you know, the courage to bring about. He mentions the letters you haven't sent yet. I think that was how he put it in the end. So there's that idea of the communication. But, you know, the other thing, too, about, you know, the whole idea of the communication between two people and the love letters that, and, you know, you, without saying it, he's kind of giving that indication of they went from, you know, a frequency to, well, this is probably the end of the love letters, you know, and it's that not knowing, like you say, it could be anything, you know, just being cast aside and disregarded. She actually gone and completely. And I mean, in the end, either way, she really is gone, you know, since there's no more letters. Until she sends another letter, you know, it's in the forest idea too, locked in there. The whole until I know, I don't know. So that doubt is almost infuriating. You went from being intimate and frequent to being cast aside almost. You know, the transition of feelings. It's kind of a little creepy, donkey, and like you said, heart wrenching.
Right? Awesome. And, Guy, what are your thoughts?
I thought it was an excellent piece. I really loved the keep going back to those letters. And I think as writers, we all have a kinship to words, and what they mean on paper and how we kind of bear ourselves within that. And just, you know, are to pay the fee that mind becomes fears. And I think there is a lot of fear. And there can be a lot of fear and love, because there's always those self-doubts and those what-ifs and those we're not good enough for some reason that kind of linger. And so I think sometimes there can be a lot of that as well. And I mean, it's so complex, and there's so many different emotions that go into love. And I think that he expressed this kind of transition beautifully.
Absolutely. I have a thing about love letters. I mean, I've got a whole series of love letters, but I have a thing about love letters because it's one of those few things that are still, to me, they're very treasured. If somebody's going to say, well, any handwritten anything, I go stupid over. But when it is little professions of love, little things of affection, those little things, they are like little pieces of magic. And when, and even at a distance, they are even just more profound. You know what I mean? And so to be getting them on a fairly regular basis, to have them just disappear, you know, it's almost like the miles are now a real thing, and it's just heartbreaking. It's just so beautiful. So, Rack, I put you up on the board. Are you ready for me to play you?
That sounds ominous.
Okay. Here we go.
Rose-Colored Fantasy by Raconteur. Would you believe me if I told you that I saw your face in a dream? But when I reached out to brush a hair from your cheek, you pixelated just like a corrupt video stream. Ravenous lips, the color of desire. Your eyes, reluctant witness to life's pain. Auburn tresses to wrap around my fist. A chassis that begs to be ridden without shame. Just a fantasy, tinged in the scarlet blush of your porcelain skin, encouraging me not to open my eyes, that I might be consumed by the amber flame therein. So incredibly beautiful, so far beyond my reach, crying crimson tears, stripped of the power of speech. When you close your eyes, what do you see? Cinnamon coat the lie and say that it's me. End poem.
I kind of love that cinnamon coat instead of sugar coat. That's fabulous. So, because I when I go delving into your poem, and especially that you know, Hellbound Walker, I will lose my shit. So I won't, but I will say this. On the next to last verse, where it's so incredibly beautiful, so far beyond my reach from crying crimson tears, stripped of the power of speech. And I love that, like, there's that to be speechless. But me and my twisted head is like, she's so beautiful. She made your eyes, please. And, you know, blinded by her blue, by her beauty. But I absolutely love that. And, you know, would you believe me if I told you that I saw your face in a dream? You know, if you just take that on its own, it's like the worst pick of life ever in a bar of cheesy people. But in the context of this poem, it's that whole, you know, it's kind of like that kind of, you're in awe, like it's, how is this real? When I just dreamt about it, you know, which I absolutely love that. There is something to be said about, you know, other realms and connections and yada yada, blah, 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 as we talked for 16 years. But it's a very rare thing to have those moments in your mind and then come across it in the flesh, you know? And so it's a very powerful thing. And when you get through all of this, all of the wonderful things, and to me, the most beautiful part about her is her eyes. That the reluctant witness to life's pain. There's that a depth to those eyes. They're not classy. They're not dancing. They are honest. You know, they reflect real things, and there's beauty in that depth. So, you know, I'll send him a code for you. It's you. And we will disregard the fact that I'm a brunette. And so, Sky, what are your thoughts?
That's just such a beautiful rite of longing, too. And I have to say, I agree. It's the entire first stanza for me. The whole piece is beautiful, but this line with the "you pixelated like a corrupt video stream." When you couple that with you know, that I saw your face in a dream, and then you couple that with that catch rhyme about it being pixelated and corrupt, so you go from that euphoria to that dreamlike state, and you bring your reader to that, and then you kind of bring them right down, crashing to earth with a sense of reality. And sometimes love can be like that, especially when you're longing for something that isn't there. And so for me, those two lines coupled together, that catch line, Ryan, was just so brilliantly placed, and you bring it right in the front. So you kind of just get your reader right at the beginning to kind of feel that this, you know, very intense want and need and yet can't have. And you hold that throughout the piece, explaining it and delving more into those emotions about those fantasies, those daydreams that us daydreamers dream. Incredibly done. Again, this Hurt Locker. I love it and I hate it.
Mm-hmm. I feel you. So I am going to put Budo up on the board, and after that, would you mind, Sky, reading Jay for me? Not to put you on the spot. I'm giving you a minute.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Right, thank you.
You're awesome.
I will. Yeah.
Thank you. And so he said, so I'm all excited. It's been so long. Hi, Bud. Okay, so he is up on the board, and I am going to, you know, these things are alphabetized, so I should, like, know where to look for things, because I know the alphabet, so this should be easy, and here I am going, where is it? It's because I never start at the top of my little list. I always start where I left off, which is never at the bottom. So here he is, and I'm all excited.
I can read between the lines and feel the bold winter cold. In the bluster, he's a sigh again and again. I can listen to your lies, not my head and my pretend, but I know the truth resides in the wrath of northern wind. How I wish that it could be what it was if it were real. All those times I spent with you is an honest appeal. But I know the game is played to begin and end to end. As the winner takes the spoils over and over again. So it never ends. Yes, it never ends, but you can win. So you leave behind a wake where I ride until I drown, an emotional undertow that pulls me deeper down, till the light is all but gone and the darkness sighs aloud to carry me in chaos in an all-ensnaring shroud. So it never ends, yes it never ends, when you can win. So it never ends, yes it never ends, with no letters to send.
So I'm loving how it ends with love letters because, you know, we were just all about the love letters and stuff with Titus, and so I kind of like that little tie-in. But this is perfectly on theme with the craziness of it all. And this, which verse is it? I've got it in the history. The third verse. How I wished that it could be what it was if it were real. Those times I spent with you, you know, there's not a appeal. And that's the kicker right there. When you have all of these moments and you connect with somebody, they are as pure as they can be. They are very, very, they're very tangible and tangible, you know? And so when it all goes crap, you know, and they're not who you thought they were, who they pretended to be, it's not just that your heart is broken. It's not just that you can't trust them. You can't trust yourself. You can't trust, you know, how you see people. You can't trust your own judgment. And that lingers. And you go back over it and over it and over it. How could I have been so wrong? You know, like, what's wrong with me that I didn't see it? Like, there's anything wrong with the person that got lied to, you know? But it invariably happens. I don't know anybody that ever says, you know, that actually cared, that ever said, well, they're just an idiot. You know, it's always, you know, what did I do to deserve that, or what could I have possibly done differently, you know? And so it's really, it's sad, you know? It never ends when you can't win. And how can you win if you can't trust yourself anymore, you know? So, Rack and Tour, what are your thoughts on this fabulous song? And, you know, it has been a very long time since I've heard your buzz. And, you know, that lead-in, I've had a very stressful, you know, few hours. And that lead-in with that guitar was just so soothing. It was just like, oh, I just need, like, just, he needs to come and sit by my bed and play guitar all night long, and then maybe I could actually get some sleep, because it was just fabulous. So, go ahead, Rack, I'm sorry.
No, that's no problem. Gushing over Bud is deserved. You know, I constantly forget, you know, until I hear him, you know, and I'm reminded that it's like listening to the radio almost. It really is. I love the emotions that he brings out, and you know, like you mentioned, this is something that hits, you know, home. So the idea of not being able to crush yourself, that's one of the things I struggle most with relationships, because, you know, sometimes walk away feeling like they made a fool of you. It wasn't, you know, that you were tired. It wasn't that, you know, it was something that you didn't see, it was, you know, I have to be some sort of idiot to fall for this nonsense again and again and again, that I keep getting up and dusting myself off. And like you said, like Bud says, you don't know what to believe, that there's lies and then, that's the seeds of mistrust and all that other fun stuff. So, it's that vicious cycle that like you said, never ends. It's very relatable and very poignant. Deeply emotional.
Absolutely. And guys, what do you guys have to say?
Oh, I love listening to the end thing. I really do. I think he's such a talented guy. Lyrics are always wonderful. You could tell a poet wrote them. I always like lyrics like that. I like the use of a lot of people are going with tides on for love, you know. A lot of people are pulling in the ocean metaphors, which I think is cool. And I just like, so you leave behind a wake where I ride until I drown. An emotional undertow that pulls me deeper down. That was my favorite part. I thought it just really is something that I think would be just stuck in your head. And you wouldn't mind it. It's so beautiful. You know, it kind of just melts your soul. Beautifully done and wonderful SoundCloud.
Right. The wound. Okay, I have Jay up. So you read Jay, then I'm going to read Hatter, and then you read you. Okay?
Okay. This is called Summer Daydreams on a Brown Trout Stream by J.C. Yates. Like the purple cherry tornado swirls snow cone.
Hold on 1 second. Let me interrupt you because I'm not sure who this is, and it might be him. Hello. 303, Mass is calling.
This is Sleepy.
Oh, Sleepy. So you are not Jay. Okay. I'll start over. My bad. We are reading Jay now. Go ahead.
Okay. Summer Daydreams on a Brown Trout Stream by JCA. Like the purple cherry tornado swirl snow cone on the lemon sun-scorched sweltering summer day, blue-bonnet butterflies braiding knots below xylophone ribs, and the ebony island ends heal the brain. To the fractal frame, ocean shimmers, shining past, silica shore. I tap the brown trout stream with the ivory speckled jig, twitching the fiberglass pole, tip over the babbling blue water. Brown eyes bound off the caged cranium as a champagne tinted garnet slips past the soldier's mandible. A box office smash reels through the olive sapphire mellow mist, fingers and the palms melt to the brackish symphony in the fields of the foothill asters and the coastal orchids. Steam sings Avogadro Roma as back eyelids see us dancing in the July rain, children barefoot in the grass and squishy puddles, rainbow promises whistle through the lapis bleached skies, sail on the cotton clouds with me to a world called Oz, our wonderland, and home.
Well, isn't that wonderfully vibrant? I tell you what, but as hot as Hades as it has been, I don't know, that cherry tornado swirl snow cone just got me wanting one, and I don't do cherry ices because I'm a strawberry gal. But this in the theme of sex, my brain just goes there. I know a lot of guys with their gone fishing spine, and if fishing is moments where you can separate yourself from the craziness that is relationships and friendships and life in general, and you can just sit here with your lures, you know, dangling there in front of the fish as your mind wanders through all of these wonderful things, then, you know, I kind of want to go fishing too. You know, of course, you know, I don't do outdoors because there's bugs, so I guess that wouldn't work for me. But he just kind of made this wonderful, like, Sunday on the river, just so appealing and so vibrant and so beautiful. So, Sweet Pea, what did you think of Jay's Pea?
I thought it was beautiful. His imagery is stunning. He takes the metaphors of fishing and just literally makes it sound like a movie. Just kind of has you lulled into this beautiful imagery that is literally, like he says, like kind of like this movie he's got going behind this dreamland. And, of course, I love how he takes the nod to Sail on the Cotton Clouds with Me, the world called Oz, our wonderland. And he has all these beautiful things going on. He mentions words like symphony, and, you know, I love squishy puddles, and brown eyes bound off the caged cranium, a campaign that started slipped past the soldier's mandible. He does such a good job with this. And he always does make something as boring and drab, as far as I'm concerned. I know he doesn't feel that way. That's itching. This grandiose, lovely, you know, starry-filled, beautiful place to be. And once again, he did a fabulous job with his imagery and his stuff.
He absolutely did. And let's say hi to Hatter. Hi, Hatter.
Hey, hi. Hi, hi. I'm
you
muted.
Are just in time. So is it quiet enough for you to read?
Yeah, I ducked away for a little bit so I could,
oh,
I could
awesome.
Read and run.
Okay, well, let me finish getting the comments for Jay, and then you're up, okay?
Sure. Okay.
So, Sky, you read it. So what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, there were just a wealth of descriptions in here. And I, you know, my favorite ones were the Tap the Brown Trout Stream, which was he brought into the title. And I think the title should be like, if ever I can't think of a title, or if ever I pull from one of my favorite lines out of the poem or kind of connect the two. And so I'm happy to see that he used this part because it was my favorite, how he said, you know, tapping the brown trout stream with the ivory speckled jig. I mean, it was just really fun and beautiful. And then he brings into the babbling blue water. So that section there, and then this line here with the brackish symphony, and then the field of the foothill asters and the coastal orchids. I don't know why, I really, really love that. I thought it was so beautiful, beautifully described. And the words just leap off the page and paint the picture. Very well done.
Absolutely. And Rackin, what are your thoughts?
The words leap off the page like a fish to the boat. The thing I love about the way Jay writes, he's always got Easter eggs. There's a lot of things that have special meaning to him. So, you know, the better you know him, the more personal the poem is, the more of his personality comes out in a lot of what he tends to write. You know, each color and metaphor has a different meaning, and definitely something personal to him. And that comes through in the emotion that he's putting on the page. I love that it ended in Wonderland, too. You know, that he centered it around the picture, I think, was the most telling bit of it to me, because, you know, the one thing that I know is undeniable, I think, about Jay, at least that I know, is that he loves to go fishing. So, you know, even taking out, you know, interpersonal relationships, his relationship with the water and fishing to begin with comes through in this. And if you expand on that, to all the little things and the people he knows and the things that he loves, all of that
he did a beautiful, beautiful job. Are you ready to read, Hatter? I'm all excited.
You say Hatter?
Did.
You did?
You ready, Hatter?
Yeah. Okay, it's called the phone. Still had a piece of my heart. Go like this. Starting school my sophomore year in the class of 75, rock and roll and hot rods. Good time to be alive. Sue Frist her name, and after the game I took her out to kiss. My friends would ask, how the hell did I get a date with a princess? Several weeks of jumping clouds, I fell in love with Sue. Christmas time, she broke my heart. I didn't have a clue. Years have passed. Excuse me. And when reunion came, yep, couldn't believe what I saw. Looked the same. My stomach hurt. I forgot to breathe. Then there she was, walking towards me. I think she said something like, how have you been? I don't know what I said, trying to pretend. Smiled as if she knew. I whispered, still, I love you. I'm in love with you. I did not know this. As she leaned in for a kiss, she still had a piece of my heart. It's the first one that gets you to, you know, that gets you to try to take your heart. My wife did not see the humor as I fell apart. Lesson learned, I felt it burn. I smiled and waved goodbye. But I still remember Sue and the love that's true. She makes me tremble inside. It was a puppy love that you didn't know how to play. Pretty princess, 1 year older, she stole my heart away. Ready to rough.
Well, that's awesome. You know, there's such a sweetness in first love and high school or whenever you know, have that first real kind of grown-up crush, it does linger. It you know, your first love, your first heartache, your first all of those, you know, and whatever the relationship holds in between that, you don't forget that. You know, it kind of starts teaching you the path of what you want and don't want for future relationships. And if all the relationships you've ever had make you who you are for the relationship that lingers. And so I absolutely love that. And, you know, it's a beautiful thing, this reunion. Don't mind my dog with the speaking voice. It's a beautiful thing, this reunion, because I found the reunions that I went to be very nerve-wracking. Because, you know, it puts you back in, you know, that click zone and everybody's judging everything and whatnot. I have anxiety. I'm weird. But those moments of joy, it's never as bad as we make it out to be in our head, but when you find those little moments of joy, when it takes you back to those butterflies that you don't feel as an adult anymore. You know, it takes you back when you were 15, and it's just as fresh and new as it was back then. It's almost like a portal of emotion, and it's a magical, magical thing. I personally kind of got a kick out of the, where is it? Well, it was the first one that gets you by taking it hard, but my wife didn't see the humor as I fell apart because, you know, yeah, because it kind of ain't funny on that end, you know. Heartbroken and ridiculous. I say ridiculous because it's not me, but it's not actually ridiculous. But if you got all heartbroken over some girl from 20 years ago, I'm like, well, what am I, chopped liver? You know, so I feel her, but it's still a beautiful, beautiful heart pitter-patter moment and just full of affection. So I love that. So, Skye, what are your thoughts on Hatter's Piece?
I love that the story. I love the storyline, and I think that it reminds people that sometimes when we put away our thoughts and our feelings, it only takes a moment to bring them back, even if we think we've kind of moved on from them. It kind of catches us by surprise how when we're around certain people and in certain situations that we realize that we have not moved on, and how quickly those feelings can, and even if a part of us did move on, how quickly those feelings can regather and bring us back to that place that we were a very long time ago. And I think that it's very prominent in this piece. Excellent, excellent one.
And Rex,
go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was I was not ready. I was just being a jock. I didn't know anything about dating. And this was an older class princess. So, yeah. They never quit.
You could waste it on the young and rock and roll your time.
I'm muted.
I don't know if you're muted or if you're talking, we can't hear you, babe.
Back to laughing.
Alright, well, I'm going to move on to Sweet, and then I'll try you again when I'm done with her, okay? So, Sweet, what a thought time. How does that
Well, you know, puppy love is sweet. It stays with you. It stays in your heart forever. It's like the first time you get in and you drive a car. Or you vomit with your first hangover. Some things you just never forget. So whether it's the taste of the first kiss or the taste of the first vomit, just those things stay with you. I thought it was a beautiful pattern. I thought love is love, and, you know, we never really know what we get into when we're kids. And I'm glad you still have this in your heart. Anybody that can't teach you, you always kind of feel, you know, they feel a piece of your heart. And I really did enjoy this.
Thank you.
That is awesome. So, Rack Drop, she's been having a phone issue lately. And so, Sky, you are on the board. Are you ready?
I am ready. Thank you. So, sometimes I go really out of the box with picture prompts. So, let me just real quick, because sometimes people get really lost because they're focusing too much on the picture. I see this, and I saw these three heads, and then, of course, one has the rose, and then the middle one, and then the little bit of fire, and the little bit of smoke going out. And it reminded me, and I think it's the heart and the cage in the middle, in the rib cage. And what it reminds me of is that when we approach love, and many people, myself, you know, they have a bit of a free mind, you know, that mind that has the trauma or the scars from past breakups or untrusting. So then you get that side, and then you get the rose reminding me of like the hopefulness and the fairy tales that one wishes they were in. And then you've got the one in the middle trying to balance the two out. And so this I saw this picture, and that's what I thought of. So here we go. This is called Warding Chambers and Preserving Newly Found Roots by Sky Darkholm. I mind the three minds that guard, astute on a Gothic Etna widening back. A feline thinks like Cyrus, warding chambers, a boning of ribs beneath each fabric stitch. And when breast peels back, ready to showcase itself like flesh petals, a string of cutout paper hearts, scored uneven, half notes mused and left together, clippings that flake, shake down shapes that burgeon red. When one mind holds stems in peace, a store of roses in bloom, and the other a twilight of travel turned ash. It is the mind held center that reaps balance, resplendent in her stillness, ever grasping advantage of stability, perpetually winnowing detritus of dead leaves and newly found roots. And poem.
You know, swaying somebody's chest open is just lovely. I mean, the way you write this, it's, where is it? And when the breast peels back, ready to showcase itself like flesh petals. You know, eviscceration never sounded so pretty. And then you get all half notes and you use bitters, and I love your word choices. You know, this is, I love this. I love the darkness in this. I love when my mind holds them in cheek, a store of roses and blue. You know, it's just, it's beautiful and painful and beautiful and painful. And, you know, yes, you know, the picture is the picture, but your words are your own, and it's lovely, you know? I don't know.
That's a sense of happiness, because it only sounds versus when you're trying to wade through it all and find and trying to let those newly found roots grow. So there was happiness there. Oh, yes.
Oh, you write happiness like I write happiness. You know, with a little bit of evisceration on the side. A girl after my own heart. And Rack is back, so what are your thoughts?
Hey, oh man, I hate my reception over here, but I did get back in touch with you. You know, like Pretty Bird says, you know, you think if my heart's getting torn out, I want to be torn out by your words. That's just, you know, I mean, you write beautifully, you do, and you know, you're very relatable. I can see the connection that you wrote about, and I'm starting to ramble over here, and just dropped it to my damn phone. Stop it. I'm sorry. I mean, I'm kind of a little speechless because I got a little distracted. But
you're fine.
Thank you, Rex.
Your words are always.
That is true. And Sweet Pea, what are your thoughts?
I think this is heartbreak written with stellar words, and it just pulls me into a place of darkness with, I don't know, you kind of put me in a dark place that kind of makes me feel warm and comfortable. I'm not sure if that makes sense, but that's how I feel. It's like, you want to kind of crawl into her dark space and cuddle up and stay warm with her to make sure nothing else harms her, but you feel a sense of comfort. And, but then again, that's where I like to be. I want to kind of share my heart with her.
Thank you, Sweet.
And this is why I love you, Sweet. You know, it takes a special kind of person to find comfort in that kind of darkness. And it's nice, no, not alone. I mean, you know, beautiful illustration in that way. And Sweetness, I put you up on the board. Are you ready?
Yes, I'm always ready. All right. Hold on, let me get back there to the board. I'm on a cell phone. I don't usually do this on a cell phone, so you have to give me a second.
Pillow would be more comfortable.
I know, but you know how I am. Okay, so here we are. Commanded by the moon. Fire fills the night sky, a 5 o'clock shadow. Shields the violence of a violent sky, feeling sun. And rough hands sweep the cold grit of granite memories from my mind. Wrapped in vanilla hints of history, a shot of whiskey warm envelops the air, making me gasp in an opal mist, craving a taste of tea, salted over your flesh. The bombshell stings on of our horizon. I become the good one for me, flowing freely, advanced by you.
And you know, I know everybody wants to call the moon Luna and all the other goddess names for the moon, but for me, the moon is Sign, S-I-N. But it's pronounced Sign, but it looks like Sin, which is just looking perfect. I love this. How fire fills the night skies. A 5 o'clock shadow shields the violence of, oh my goodness. You know, there is something about the right 5 o'clock shadow and all the fabulous that brings to everything. And, you know, I'm a water baby, and you write love and desire and water and mood. These are all my favorite things. This is just all of my favorite things, all wrapped into one. And talk about comforting. It's that place where, you know, the conch shell sings. And it's not always the easiest thing, by the way, to make a shell, you know, into a horn. So I can go Sunday Night Metaphors, but I shall not, because this is just stunning as it is. It's romantic and loving and passionate, and there is a bit of tumultuousness because the waves can almost be a little bit violent, but then it's the soothing waters at the same time. So it's very, to me, it's very passionate. It's very in the throes of the moment that matches, you know, the ocean and sky. And it is, and I love how it's commanded by the moon, which it is, because, you know, tides and whatnot. So stinking beautiful. I absolutely adore it. I'm saving it. And Rack, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, the moon influencing the tides is a favorite metaphor. And, you know, she's a favorite writer. So, you know, kind of go together. I mean, it's stunning, and I think, you know, what came in. Really expresses, you know, you. It felt very, I wanted to drown.
Oh, my. And
thank you, Rat.
I'm not just kidding.
And Sky, your thoughts? Are you on mute, my Sky?
Yes, I'm on mute. I'm on mute. This is a wonderful brevity. The middle part, the middle stanza for me was my favorite part. I thought that the way that you brought in taste, especially wrapped with emotion and sense, you know, these different, all the different senses, I just really love that. The idea with the vanilla hints of mystery, how you give mystery a taste, I just really, really like that. And then you kind of just warm it up with that shot of whiskey, because I, you know, whenever you have a whiskey, you just, your whole body is warm. So I love that. And that's kind of, I guess, what love feels like. And you take a shot of it, and your whole body, your skin, and all your insides are just warm. And so I love how you bring that emotion through, but with taste. And then you go into the opal mist craving. You bring in this beautiful personification. And then the salted upon your flesh. And, of course, that makes me think of sweat, because sweat's salty. So it does get a little bit touch on sensuality for me. So I really, the whole piece is stunning. I love the middle stanza. The best. Excellent piece.
Thank you, Sky.
And thank you. I do have to say goodnight now. I'm cutting myself off.
Good night.
I'm glad you could hang for so long. I'm all excited.
Good night, yes.
Yep. Good night.
Me too.
Sweet
thank
dreams.
You. You too. Thank you. And wonderful show. A great topic.
Thank you so much.
Wonderful conversation, awesome. As always. Yeah.
Right. Well, thank you. Good night, Sky. Okay, on the board, I have Shelly AB, and she has a SoundCloud. So here we go.
Coastline. Feel my love like it is the waves against the rocks of the shore. Sometimes my love will crash into you with full force, mighty and powerful, with an intensity you can feel in your core, a knowing that will penetrate straight inside. It will smash and thrash against you, overwhelming you with a strength you hadn't known, creating a hole in the stone, allowing the waves to pass through. Sometimes my love will tickle you, care for you. It will lick you everywhere, gently playing with your hidden caves, your deep depths, kissing you slowly, caressing and embracing you with tenderness. It will soothe you as it massages you, bringing your beauty to surface. As it flows and ebbs, you always feel my presence. Eventually, we will have weathered so many storms together, we will change the very shape of ourselves. We will mold to each other in a way that we no longer recognize the coastline we started with. The whole time we're on this journey of love together, I will caress you like the waves do to land. Always kissing, always touching, never separated, bonded to each other, changing the coastline.
Oh, I'm going to have to bite my tongue because it is not Sunday. So I will be nice because it's not the naughty night. Because this can be wonderfully sensual. But it is so fully loving. And the whole first, sometimes my love will crash into you with full force, mighty and powerful, with an intensity you can feel in your core. And my mind went full on to, I came in like a wrecking ball, and because I'm kind of that girl, you know, I'm a little much to handle sometimes, you know. But at the same time, you've got that softer side, that gentle side that will lick your wound, that will get to know the nooks and crannies of your essence. And in this bond, and my favorite line, this whole thing is, eventually we will have weathered so many storms together, we will change the very shape of ourselves, just like the shore itself. And it's true. You know, everything you experience with someone, good or bad, especially the uncomfortable things, the painful things, as you get through that, and that makes you stronger, and it changes who you are at your core. This was really beautifully done. It was just an all-encompassing kind of love. And you know, there's affection, there's passion, there's truth, there's perseverance, and it's a very beautiful thing. So, your thoughts, Rex?
Yeah, it did come across very passionate, I wasn't expecting what we call an accent, which you call speech. I love the read. You know, the enunciation on some of the words gives the piece a different feel too, I think, because there was, and damn it, if I can't come up with just one example of what you said, the word, I come back to a much more open fact. The sentiment of very loving,
you're breaking up a bit, Rack.
I hate my phone. I enjoyed the piece. Yeah, of course, that came through. I enjoyed the piece a lot. You know, I could probably go on for, you know, quite a while on you know, the intricacies of the emotions that she covered and everything else. I just thought it was very, very beautiful and very affectionate, and, you know, it's awe-inspiring, really.
It really is. And sleep's a little in a little loud place right now, but she writes that she loves the imagery and sensuality is the only thing that can make the difference between love and affection. And you know, and this is true. And let's say hello to Boston. Hey, how are we doing?
Hey, everybody. Hi.
I know that voice.
Yeah, hi.
I am so excited. So I'm going to go ahead.
I'm excited, too.
It's been so long. I'm glad you got to L.A. safely.
I know.
Because, you know, travel days make me nervous across the board.
Yeah, I was driving fast, though. I made it fine. Mm-hmm. Hi, sweetie. I have a disclaimer. I'm holding my granddaughter.
Hey,
girl. So she, hi, Ace. I was practicing my read, and she was, like, talking to me. Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you? I got to go before everybody starts yelling, but I want to say hi to Boston.
Hello. I keep looking on the board, but I never have anything that matches your theme, so I finally did tonight, so I'm here.
Oh, I'm so excited. So I'm going to go ahead and regress, and then you will be up. Are you good with that, Boston?
Okay.
Oh,
hey,
perfect.
I just saw Gress a few weeks ago. He was in L.A.
Really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I know.
That's a wild coincidence. Like, because he hasn't been on my show in a while either, so this is just fabulous.
Yeah.
I get so excited when like, you know, internet families like meet in real life. Like I met 3P last summer. It was like the best thing ever. It was just fabulous. Like, you know, like,
who did
excited.
You?
I met
who
three.
Did you?
It was the best thing ever.
Oh.
Yeah, she does.
It is fun.
It's just
good
stuff.
Yeah, meeting me wouldn't be that exciting.
Meeting who wouldn't be that exciting? Y'all are talking over each other because I can't hear a gosh darn thing because my computer has a lag. So who wouldn't be exciting because I'm calling bullshit because I think it would be exciting to meet all y'all.
No, I said you and I had a lot of fun. Ooh. It was a great time.
Oh, it was the
I
best
said
time.
It was exciting meeting
you.
Oh,
it was exciting. I said it wasn't exciting. Oh, that's funny. Oh, I had the best time. It was the best time. It was just so much fun.
Yes, it was.
So, I get all tickled with real life meetings of people. You know, there's something to be said, almost like words make feelings real. Like, it's almost like you don't want to say bad things because then you have to actually deal with the bad things sometimes. You know, like if you say it, it's real, we're going to push that aside. It's like meeting somebody makes them real in a good way. Not that they're not real to begin with, but then, you know, when you can like put your arms around somebody, it's like, oh, yay, my people. And it's fabulous.
It solidifies it.
Exactly. Thank you for the words because my brain is not brainy. And so this is Gress's piece, and this is You Live With Me Inside My Head. Story of my life. My, there's lots of people in my head, let me tell you what. So it goes like this. I tried to sew my heart on you, but the strings would not hold. So I welded it with titanium, but the melt cracked in the fold. Your heart swam free away from me, leaving me in the wake of lips, forever in the grooves between your curving hips. Your scent still beckons as my tongue remembers the minutes and the seconds you fell in complete surrender as you gasped and grasped and we both collapsed inside each other forever. Promises made as flesh-pressed flesh, brushing your hair from your eyes, could we answer otherwise? Crying as we held on to our passing days of youth, knowing the truth, you go back to living within your vow of lies, always forgiving. Never saying our goodbyes. I still think of you in your black negligee and special way you moved my world, my forever girl. I hope life is kind as I look at you at my life. But this breaks my heart on a many, many, many levels, actually. This is lovely and wistful, and my heart bleeds for wistful. You know, I can read something that's like horribly sad and be like, okay, I'm good and move past that. But when it just touches on that familiar longing, it kind of settles in that place for me. And this one weighs, it does. You know, when bad timing or unfortunate circumstance keeps the best of the best at bay in whatever, you know, reality brings. The truth of it never disappears. It's still there. It's still there in your memories. It's still there in your present day feelings. It's still there ready and waiting for the just in case and what if, and, you know, in that hopeful place that you don't really hold your breath to wait for because you know better, but you still can't let go. And it's a beautiful, beautiful storytelling of that, of both love and pain. And perfectly fitting for tonight because that would drive me nuts too. So, you know, because if there's certain things when the lights go down and you're laying in bed, and it doesn't matter who you're with or if you're alone or if it's winter or summer, it doesn't matter. When you close your eyes and the world is quiet, people come back to life, you know? And I think you capture that beautifully. So, Sweet Pea, what are your thoughts? Are you able to comment yet or is it still too loud?
Just real quick, I definitely have a relationship with this poem. The vow of lies and all of that, it really touched me, and I feel it. It's definitely something you can feel and taste and understand if you've ever kind of lived that. So it really touched me. It's really a great poem, and I'm probably going to have to leave you very soon. But, yeah, he did a really great job with this.
He did. Well, I hope that you can stay for Boston. She's up next.
I may listen but not be able to talk to you.
Okay. And Rack and Tor, what are your thoughts on Russ's poem?
I enjoyed it thoroughly. The whole part of it kind of made me think of the age-old quote about just better to have loved than lost, because, you know, those memories that stay with you, to me, are you know, you're going to carry them no matter what. And I think those reminders are what, you know, breathe life into it and you know, make it immortal. But when you take into account, you know, kind of what the line Sweet Pea was quoting about the vow of lies, you know, that kind of taints it at the same time. And, you know, at the same time that you know, even though you're hanging on to that memory, you have to remember, you know, what it's rooted in, too. So there's a lot of emotion in this that just really makes it very relatable for me. So I appreciate it very much. I thought it was wonderful.
Absolutely. And Boston, you're done.
Well, it's funny because the part about the vows hit me. But first, I'll talk about the titanium because it's so strong and resistant to corrosion and water,
yep.
You know, all that kind of stuff. And so it's like it's the strongest, one of the strongest elements that it's like, but it's still cracked within the fold. So there was like nothing he could do, they could do to keep it together. And obviously, she had to go back to her husband. But the vow of lies, you know, and always forgiving, so she had that forgiving heart towards him, I guess, you know, but
yeah.
I you know, it's like he was so descriptive, like with the part about obviously the flesh, but the brushing of your hair. I mean, how many times have we felt someone special take the hair out of our eyes and just suck it back? And it's just such a endearing, and it's a touching moment. And so he touches on the simplest things too, as much as the negligee and just being together. But the title says, "You live with me inside, so live with me inside my mind. So forever she'll be there." So it's just. I mean, I commented before, but it's just so special and so sad, but so tangible. I think for many people who probably have had some sort of you know, whether it be a physical relationship or an emotional one, or long distance, you know, it's like, you know, it's highly relatable. And, yeah, it's something that you will always have within you. So it was wonderfully written. And of course, it says forever love at the end. So, yeah.
Oh, gotta love that. See, that's the whole wistfulness, where, you know, it's that bittersweet, a love like that lingers, that never dies, is a beautiful thing. But when you can't have it with you, it is eternally painful.
It's tormenting.
It really is. So I'm going to go over the next couple of shows, and then you're up. Okay, Bob?
Okay.
Okay, so tomorrow night we are off, and on Saturday night in the think tank, it is Ferns, F-E-R-N-S. So anything that conjures up, feel free to bring it to the show, whether it is, you know, the fiddle necks or the fronds or whatever you call them, whatever it brings to your mind, whatever lusciousness, that is on Saturday. And on Sunday, we have a treat. It is a pretty sweet tease, where it is a rated R, not fully private, sensual show from 10 to midnight. And it is in our sister group, the Adult Lounge. It is on the topic board with the link. You have to be 18, but it is an open sensual night, so anybody 18 and over is invited. Just click through, state your age, and we will let you in. So that's fun.
State my age.
Wow. You're already in there. You're good. And
I'm good.
Yeah. Yay.
And so there is that. And then on Monday, it is Personal Prompt Monday. And the theme is the ocean. And there's all kinds of goodies in there to take a look at. So that is what is coming up. And Sweet, since you're here, tell us about your Cowboy Tuesday. Or Cow Tuesday.
Cowboy
I'm not sure
Tuesday.
What's coming up.
It is Cow Tuesday. It will be a bunch of lyrics will be posted for songs that have the word cow in them. It's going to be a fun night, so I'm going to have you write two lyrics about cows, or even if you want to write a song about a cow, it will be all about it. Yes, I've got some great songs, some great cow lyrics. In celebration of 2 years of my own personal relationship with becoming part cow.
And, you know, and every day we all give thanks that, you know, cow valve is beating strong. So I'm glad that you're doing so much better. And
and I
Boston.
Don't know if Boston knows about the cow.
Oh.
I don't know about it, no.
Oh, do tell, sweet.
2 years ago, I ended up with open heart surgery, and they replaced part of my heart with a cow.
Oh, wow.
I
had no idea. Cool.
So August is her cow birthday.
That's amazing.
So all things cow for her shows this month, which is awesome.
Oh, I've got something I could add. It's short.
For cows?
But yeah. I do.
That's awesome.
It's kind of a spoof on it. It's kind of anyway. Yeah, I won't give it away, but it's a short little meeting.
That would be awesome. So you are up on the board. So whenever you're ready.
Okay. Well, I gotta give you a little background. This write was a rewrite, and I was talking to Melissa Argo Wings and trying to explain to her how I was the queen of editing. And so I said, I actually have a piece that I don't like the ending. So she looked at it, of course, asked me about it. And so in lieu of trying to make it better, it took on a whole life of its own. So it demanded its own entry. So the other one I add, the link is called All Is Not Forgotten. This one is called Waiting to Remember All That Is Not Forgotten. And the original prompt was I was visiting a client who's in a nursing home. And having dinner with the ladies, and one lady who was well put together, she sat there and she goes, "Where's my husband?" And she's looking for him. Of course, he wasn't there. So that was the prompt. Okay. And this is actually for Charles's contest. All right. Waiting to remember all that is not forgotten. Hands that once cupped the steady warmth of running waters and camped out of the soldier's yellow ribboned oak tree. And I wander through the prickly chill of hollow winds, following her flames, echoing music box, hellos, flambeaus, line corridors. balance tend to the edge of yesterday's sinking sand, bonding a heart that still ignites at the sound of his name. On cue, seeking to settle at their fat lapel, housed by the silent audience of one. She embraced his sheltered lead with polished toes, dancing quietly inside winter's woolen walls, springing restless eyes to search behind hidden divides, wandering as a prisoner in a novel's maze, windows half shuttered. Stretch avenues lured her gaze, lulling them into catching glimpses of his dashing silhouette, as pop-up portraits historically dropped in, sparking starving giggles to weigh in on gravity's ballooning size. Chambers loaded Clary's smoking gun, taking aim at cobweb corners, sighting his empty chair. As with vanishing portals, Peter's smoky plumes rose north, trailing whiffs of his musty scent, gently nudging smoldering timbers to fan, straighten forthwith and feed her dying veins. Uncuffed, Harvard pleas rolled past lips prisoning gates, waving on her forever to come sit beside with portal blues and familiar hands. Like a bloodhound, her circling breath tracked down volumes of chapters, reenacting journeys, tango steps. Sleepily, she sank skyward, scoping the expanse set the starlit night, nodding to hazel eyes, sputtering wishes to scale barriers cabling spiral staircases, seeing his outstretched arms, backed by soothing whispers, beckoning her to fall once again, home, against his cashmere chest.
Well, you just broke my heart. I'm a blubbering little idiot, I have to say. And I'm not one to like to cry on my show, damn it.
Really?
Oh.
Yeah, really. She's usually very composed.
Yeah,
thank
usually
you.
I will steal myself and be like, I ain't crying, I ain't doing it. And, yeah, no, I lost it from the first vignette. And, like, seriously, I'm trying not to ugly cry. It's fine. And there's just these, you capture those moments. And I'm sure that we all know somebody who, you know, is elderly and suffers from either Alzheimer's or some sort of dementia and has just a few moments of lucidity. But the parts that get me are the ones where, where's the Google? Where's the, it's down here somewhere. Oh, as pop-up portraits historically dropped in, sparking starving giggles to weigh in on gravity's ballooning size with the weight of the world of the emptiness, that she has those little moments that are real for her, like they're happening right now, or she just kind of jiggles through like it's right there, and then reality sets in for a minute, and there's that empty chair, and the way you paint that knobless hallway, because you know that's what they look like, those long mechanical places that are all cement and cold and have that smell to them. This breaks me. A, my biggest fear is this is where I'm going to be ending up, and so I keep on telling my four kids, yeah, this ain't happening. One of y'all just pass me around like a hot potato, I'm good. But but that's not to say that I ain't gonna lose my mind, you know. And it's a possibility. And these moments. And how many realities can you live? How many different moments? You know, 1 minute. And if you've ever spoken to somebody who is, you know, who has like severe Alzheimer's, not beginning stage Alzheimer's.
Yeah.
I mean, they're 15 1 minute, 50 the next. They're in their mother's kitchen. It's Christmas Day. In a 15-minute conversation, he's spanning, you know, back and forth. And this just captures those moments. And they're all lonely. They're all her alone. And it's just, I love this. And I tend to fall into pain because I it's hard for me to climb out. I'll probably cry myself to sleep in these moments because they're that beautiful. And so the next time you come to my show, bring something that's not so bad, so I don't cry. But I love this. This is absolutely
thank you.
Stunning. Like I'm like absolutely putting this on my page because I must. And so sweet.
Well, thank you so much.
Oh, it's an honor. So Sweet Pea, your thoughts. Wait, is she still there? I'm not even in my studio. Yes, she is.
No, I'm here. I'm desperately trying to get through this as pretty bird knows, I'm spending a great deal of time in Wyoming taking care of my mother-in-law, who I love dearly, who we are struggling with. She's 90. She has a great deal of her wits about her, though. But she's really starting to struggle after losing her husband in October with missing him a great deal.
Mm-hmm.
And she keeps this portrait in her room. We just you know, trying to decide if she can stay in her own home, especially now that she's in the rehabilitation center and she's decided that eating is not good for her. She dropped 86 pounds. I'm just watching her decide whether or not she's going to live and now repeating herself and going down this road of dementia and just watching her deteriorate. And I see her doing some of this stuff where she's looking for Ray and wanting Ray, doesn't want his photograph on the site and searching for his strength. So she's not to the point of the person you're speaking of that loneliness and that heartbreak and that sense I see in her eyes. And that heartbreak is there. So there's such a depth of beauty and truth in what you wrote. It's very stunning emotional problem.
It's very, very powerful. And Rex, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, it's hard to comment on something like this. I mean, I like the way you went about it because just the opening thought of kind of the glazed lunch thing developed into the whole idea of anyone in general, when you get older, that's you know, definitely a memory that you carry with you, and it holds a special place because it is an event, and it is something that you know, there's everything wrapped up in it, from the primping and prepping to the sharing of memories while you're there to the sadness, and all that just comes out in just that thought alone, and you describing the missing memories too at the same time in this, and that's the hard part to deal with when you know someone that's going through it, because you don't want to remember them like that, and most of your experiences, they're not like that. And I mean personally I think, you know, I've known a couple of people, but I've never really had to deal with them. But, you know, I can imagine being torn between wanting to throttle them like you know better to realizing that, well, they kind of don't know better. You almost miss that line sometimes because you don't remember when they didn't know, because that's how you remember them. So, you know,
right.
Your memories, it's really rough to look at. That's painful to watch. You know, being trapped in a body, you know, and the mind is gone too. You really did a great job expressing that in this.
Thank you.
You really, really did. And it makes me wonder, just all her little giggles and all those little moments of bright-eyed wonderfulness are wrapped in that love. What happens to those that never had a love of their life? What would spark them? What would that look like? You know?
Sad.
So it's just stunning, like stunningly heartbreaking. It's just so beautiful. You kill me. You do. I am so glad you showed up. It's like Christmas in a very sad, sad.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
No, thank you. I'm so excited.
Thank you.
And so it is about that time. So what a wonderful way to close the show with all of the emotion, because, you know, quite frankly, I can't imagine having to read after that, because that's just, you know, make anything I have look like that. So that is just, it's just perfect. So thank you all for showing up and hanging out and being all fabulous. And I will catch you guys on the next one, or on the cow show on Tuesday. What's the problem?
Cow show.
Yeah. I'll see if I can make it. I'm with my granddaughter, but yeah, I'll try and do what I can do.
Oh, that is awesome. I'm so excited. So you guys have a wonderful rest of your evening. And I'm going to say goodnight.
I'll see you Sunday.
Thank you again.
Okay. Good night, everybody.
Sunday.
Thank you.
Yes, Sunday. Not Sunday. If you're from Sunday. Boston, I would love to read you. So see you guys then. Good night.
Okay.
See you.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.